So a week after Donald Trump shocked the world by imposing huge tariffs on America's trading partners, he did it again by putting a 90-day pause on the most punishing part of the policy. Although the White House insists the move was part of attempts to secure new trade deals, it's widely believed the administration was alarmed by a sell-off of government bonds. A universal 10% tariff remains in place, as do tariffs on imports of steel, aluminium, cars and car parts. China will now pay an import tax of 125%. Speaking to Claire Byrne this morning, the Taoiseach Micheál Martin said that while there was an opportunity for the EU to negotiate with the US, any resolution was a long way off.
There is no certainty. The only certainty is uncertainty right now. And but that said, we I think coming out of yesterday's decision, I think there was an opportunity for the European Union to engage. I think the European Union has played this correctly. Mm-hmm. I think President von der Leyen got the right tone and the right balance in terms of the Commission's response. And I do trust the competence of the Commission.
Well, meanwhile, the EU is to delay its response to those steel and aluminium tariffs. The Commission President Ursula von der Leyen said retaliatory tariffs would be put on hold for 3 months. Our Europe editor Tony Connolly has been following developments. Tony, these countermeasures were announced yesterday. So what's the Commission saying today?
That's right, Rachel. It was only yesterday that member states adopted a proposal from the Commission to slap €22 billion in retaliatory tariffs on a range of US products. And that was in response, as you mentioned there, to the steel and aluminium tariffs that Donald Trump imposed last month. So the Commission came out with a fresh proposal today. There was a meeting of EU ambassadors here in Brussels, and they agreed with this idea of pausing those tariffs for 90 days. They were due to come in on the 15th of April and then another range of tariffs on the 16th of May and then again on the 1st of December. So that whole schedule has been put on pause. And the message from the Commission is, look, this is an opportunity for negotiations to take shape. Maros Šefčovič, the EU's trade commissioner, had spoken to Howard Lutnick, the Commerce Secretary, on Tuesday by phone. But according to the Commission this morning, that was simply a state of play conversation. So I don't think there's any sense that this was a pre-planned agreement between Brussels and Washington that if Donald Trump paused things for 90 days, then the EU would do the same. I think the assumption is that this was a hurried, somewhat panicked decision by Donald Trump yesterday. And certainly the EU, who have been saying that they would prefer negotiations, saw this as a fairly obvious opportunity to say, OK, we can pause those €22 billion worth of retaliatory measures for 90 days and let's now get into a negotiating space.
As you say, Tony, those negotiations are now due to take place. Will 3 months be enough to sort all of this out?
Well, I think the 3 months timeline was simply the Commission mirroring what Donald Trump had announced, just for the sake of neatness and clarity. It's hard to see how you can get into a very detailed trade negotiation between two of the biggest trading blocks in the world when the Trump administration, by its own estimation, are going to be talking to 70 countries on trade and tariffs over the coming months. So, obviously it's up to the Trump administration to decide who they want to prioritise. I think there is one important takeaway from this. The European Union now know that there is a floor for the Trump administration. They know that for all his bragging and boasting about what a brilliant negotiator he is, when push came to shove yesterday, he panicked and he blinked. And the markets, took their effect, the bond market in particular. So that's a very useful lesson for the European Commission to know and to learn going into those negotiations.
Tony, thanks indeed. Our Europe editor, Tony Connolly. Joining us now is Simon McKeever. He's the chief executive of the Irish Exporters Association. Simon, it's worth remembering that a 10% tariff does remain in place. So how is all of this likely to affect Irish exporters?
Good afternoon, Rachel and everybody. So the amount is less, but it's still a tariff. Some of those tariffs are compounded, particularly in the agri-food sector. You know, that 10% will sit on top of a tariff that already exists. So companies are absolutely still facing, you know, they're looking at their business in the United States of America, looking at potentially increased competition, but also price pressure over there. So it's not good. Even though it's not 20%, it's 10%. It's still an awful lot. And, you know, recognizing that pharmaceuticals have not been included up to this date, and from a macro position, how important that is from Ireland. And, you know, there's still uncertainty over whether and when they will be included. There's still an awful lot of Irish businesses. 17% of our exports to the United States are manufactured goods. And the 3% of them are food and drink. You know, and that is 2 to 3 billion euros. And it's about 12 billion in manufactured goods. And all those companies are indigenous Irish businesses and some foreign-owned businesses here, but a lot of them are big employers in local areas of the country. You know, they've gone to bed last night, woken up again this morning, still looking at a particular challenge and threat to their business. And just listening to your previous, you know, your previous contributors, be under no illusion that it was the bond market that drove this decision yesterday. The bond market in the US is considered to be the safest of safe havens. And normally when stock markets get sold off, people move into treasuries, they buy treasuries, but they actually sold treasuries yesterday. And that is signifying a complete loss of confidence in the US. And, you know, you hear words like uncertainty. I think people are still extremely uncertain this morning. And, you know, you need to ask the question, would you invest in the USA at the moment? And going back to some of the things that Tony Connolly also said, mm-hmm. 90 days, it's definitely not enough to negotiate a trade deal with any single country. Trade deals take years. There is always complexities in them. So this will have to go on longer. My sense is I wouldn't be surprised to see the market sold off again in the States over the next couple of days. Two other things to think about. China. So China, with the 125% tariff that has been levied on it, it is the second biggest economy in the world. There will be a direct and indirect implication of that. So it will filter into supply chains. We are seeing a number of container transport ships sailings been cancelled from China at the moment. So that will all add up. And then the final thing I just wanted to say, sorry, two last things. Transport sector, we must watch the transport sector in Ireland. They will be caught up in the crossfire of all of this. They are carrying the goods. And if there is any drop in exports or imports into the country, they will suffer. So they need to be included. And the Minister for Transport needs to be on the trade forum that Simon Harris leads. And then what can people do? So I've said this before. Look at your rules of origin, look at your classification, your Incoterms, your contracts. So when we talk to our members, they are entering into dialogue with all their customers in the States. So they're not ignoring this. They are talking to them. They are, you know, there is potential to negotiate with the customers around, you know, who's paying the tariff. They need to look at their business now and the business into the future.
Right. So it's still a pretty complex picture. Just going back to something you said a few moments ago, and that's the issue of pharmaceutical exports. Now, as you understand it, will they be included in any future negotiations, or is there a danger that a higher tariff on pharma, that it could be introduced at any time?
I mean, who knows at this stage really what the United States is going to do? And that is the essence of the problem here. That is the essence that we're all dealing with. We don't know what is going to happen in the United States. We don't know what the president is going to do. You know, one minute he's saying one thing, the next minute he's doing something else. The one thing I would say about pharma is that it is not possible for the United States at the moment, with its production capacity in the United States, to deliver all the medicines it needs to do to its own people. So Ireland is a very vital part of that supply chain at the moment. So at a personal level, I can't see that being immediately happening, but you don't know. It's like, you know, the markets will open at 9:30 in New York and Donald Trump will open his mouth probably a bit earlier than that. And who knows what will happen? Because that's, you know, the volatility that he is causing at the moment is creating uncertainty. And people are looking at what do they do next?
Yeah, I think normally by this time in the day, we've had some sort of social media message from him. I don't think we've had anything yet today, but no doubt it's on its way. Simon McKeever, thank you very much for talking to us this afternoon. Well, as we were saying there, just a day ago, Mr. Trump was insisting that his tariffs were there to stay and that this was the time to buy stocks. 5 hours later, he changed his mind. So what happened? We can go to Washington next and talk to political analyst Eric Hamm. Eric, during the crash, this country learnt a hard lesson about the power of the bond markets. And it does seem, doesn't it, that the growing cost of government debt was causing alarm in the White House yesterday.
That's certainly true. And of course, not only was the bond market becoming increasingly difficult for the president to stomach, but also we know that many of his closest allies were actually beginning to move away from the president on this issue. And so I think what we saw was the president capitulate. But again, given the fact that we continue to see this president move in a way that simply does not provide certainty for businesses as well as the markets, the question becomes, will we see another jolt like this in 90 days when the president says he will end this pause on these tariffs?
Was there and is there still division among his advisors?
There has been. And we do know that, for example, we know that even his U.S. trade representative was not even aware that the president was actually pausing these tariffs. And so I think what we're seeing here is just how unchecked the president has been over these first 100 days in office, because there just aren't the checks and balances within the White House. And of course, one of the reasons for that is because we know that Donald Trump certainly put people in place who would not question him, who would not challenge him. And that's why I think we get some of these policies that are so haphazard in terms of their delivery. And now, of course, it's the American people that are made to suffer, even though President Trump continues to claim that these tariffs are actually taxes on other countries and not specifically on the American people. And now that you've got this trade war between China and the United States, we know Americans like their cheap products from China. And of course, now those prices are going up. And this is not what many Americans actually voted for when they actually elected Donald Trump.
Can we talk a little more about that? Because as you say, there's no sign as yet of any softening in his attitude towards China.
Yeah, that's right. And the question becomes, who is going to blink first? Now, I do believe that China probably suspected that they would actually get a reprieve from Donald Trump when he came into office. This is very different than what we saw in 2018 when Donald Trump had a laser-like focus on China and implemented a trade war back then. This time we saw the president going after his two biggest trading partners, Canada and Mexico. But now we see that Donald Trump has gone back to Beijing with this trade war. And I think even though I think Beijing might not admit it, I do believe that they were caught by surprise. But again, I do believe that they are prepared to actually engage in this trade war with the president for as long as it takes.
Eric Hamm in Washington, thanks indeed for talking to us. You're welcome back to the News at One, and we're going to return next to our main news because despite Donald Trump's climb down, the fate of pharmaceutical exports remains unclear. Earlier in the week, the US president again signalled that hefty tariffs would be levied on pharma. It's an area of particular concern to Ireland, but we're not alone. Denmark exports nearly €5 billion worth of pharmaceutical products to the US, primarily made up of the weight loss drugs Ozempic and Saxenda. The success of these drugs has been largely responsible for the country's economic growth. Kasper Schroeder, who's economics correspondent with the Danish national broadcaster DR, has been telling me about their importance to the Danish economy.
They're vital to the Danish economy. I'll give you an example. Recently, the Danish government published their regular outlook on the Danish economy, and it had Novo Nordisk, the big pharmaceutical company of Denmark, mentioned 32 times in the economic outlook for Denmark. So that's the importance of the company and the sector you have there. We've had years recently where we would have had a recession in the Danish economy if it hadn't been for pharmaceutical exports.
There's been a bit of debate in Ireland about the country's over-reliance on a relatively small number of large companies. Has there been something similar in Denmark?
Yes, the discussion has been here for a few years, with Novo Nordisk growing rapidly, the pharmaceutical sector gaining dominance in the Danish economy. So yes, this has been a discussion, but also a difficult discussion because it's based on basically one big pharmaceutical company doing very, very well, being very, very good at selling their product. To the US and to the rest of the world, Ozempic has been a single product driver for a big part of Danish employment growth, export growth, and so on, and a big contributor to GDP in recent years. So it's been a difficult discussion because what to do about it? It wouldn't work to make Novo Nordisk grow any slower, would it? If we don't want that to be a smaller company, we want the other companies to be more successful. And that's a bit more difficult.
Given all of this and given the huge demand for Ozempic and Saxenda in the United States, have the developments of recent weeks and Donald Trump's threats about large tariffs on pharmaceutical imports, have they also caused a lot of debate?
Yeah, it has. This is, of course, pretty worrying for a Danish economy that's so reliant on pharmaceutical and medicine exports. So it has definitely been a discussion. You know, my day job is as an economics correspondent with Danish national TV. So when I go get my groceries at the supermarket, people know me from TV and they want to chat about the economy. And it's been like this for a few years. They want to talk about the rates on the mortgage or should they buy cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin. But in the recent months, everybody's been asking about when will the Novo Nordisk stock rebound because it's been falling quite a lot. So this does say a lot about the awareness of the vulnerability and the effect of Novo Nordisk in the pharmaceutical sector on the Danish economy, I think.
Given, though, that there is that enormous demand for Novo Nordisk products in the US, in a way, I've seen people speculating that they could almost be used as a bargaining chip by the EU because those products are so successful.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. Maybe, of course, tariffs would hit demand, supply of Ozempic in the US, probably. Novo Nordisk do produce a lot of the Ozempic in U.S. facilities, but part of the product, the active ingredients, semaglutide, is partly produced in Denmark and in other parts of the world. So, of course, this could hit supply, and that wouldn't be popular with the American voter. Prices would also go up, and I think this is one of the reasons that we haven't seen pharmaceutical tariffs yet. But I think another factor is also that, you know, President Trump has stated himself that the U.S. is not self-sufficient on basic stuff like antibiotics. So I guess this is also one of the reasons that we haven't seen the pharmaceutical tariffs from the U.S. Yet. And I think these vital pharmaceutical problems and medicines, they are, after all, a bit more important than Ozempic, which can be replaced by more basic products.
And that was Danish economics correspondent Kasper Schroeder.